Good morning, everybody. I always wonder, once we get to a holiday weekend like this, I know we've got a lot of our people that are going to be out for the weekend. In fact, just as soon as worship is finished today, I'm going to be leaving for the week. I will be back Friday night, but Kathy and I have got to go up and visit my former secretary, her husband, who is in very poor health. But between that and then the people that we're going to be getting as visitors and families and so forth, but it's good to see all of you as a part of our worship this morning. Before I share just a couple things with you, as you leave this morning, there is this sheet that it's called Free to Be Faithful. It was an essay contest put forth by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod about 3 years ago, in which we asked for some essays on various topics, religious freedom, marriage and life issues. And the winners are in here. This is not a long document. In fact, we did a little of it this morning for our Bible study. But on this 4th of July weekend, feel free. We've got some copies on the back table to take a copy of this with you and read through these essays. They actually are quite good. And for our Bible class, we will be starting a new one next weekend. We finished Death, Then What? And our new one is going to be one on regrets, restoration, and reality. On that topic, we'll start with that next week. Also, on Saturday of next week is another Bible study for the ladies. It's over at the Oasis Coffee Shop. It starts at 9 a.m. Through the rest of the summer. They've had some really good summer studies over there. Again, starting on Saturday mornings, beginning this Saturday. And so, please let us know that you were here with the cards that are in the racks in front of you for both our members and our guests. And a quick note, because of Independence Day, the office obviously is going to be closed on Tuesday. That is all that I have. And for this special holiday weekend, please stand. As we begin by calling to mind our baptisms, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Engrafted into the name of the Holy Trinity. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Sanctify us in your truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Beginning with a moment of silence, let us confess our sins to God, trusting in His steadfast love. Almighty God, we have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We failed to show gratitude for your grace and gifts. We failed to live as faithful citizens of your kingdom. For the sake of Jesus, for the sake of your steadfast love, have mercy on us and forgive us. God has sent his Son to be our Savior. For the sake of Jesus who died and rose for us, I announce to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray this prayer together. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, the Old Testament lesson, Psalm 19. God's righteous laws endure forever. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies. I look at the faithless with disgust, because they do not keep your commands. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from Romans chapter 7. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. St. Paul writes, "Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet, if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets."
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Whomever loses his life for Jesus' sake will find it forever. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the gospel of our Lord. In place of the confession of our Christian faith, we read a portion of Dr. Martin Luther's Small Catechism, and for this Independence Day weekend, we use the petitions of the Lord's Prayer number 4 and 5. What is the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. What is the fifth petition? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of those things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. But we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. Friends, for our final hymn, we will sing the words, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. And indeed, the grace, mercy, and peace of God is given to us as his individuals in the waters of holy baptism. As we gather together here as families and as part of the family of faith. But surely, God has shed his grace on this country. When leaders of our new country gathered to declare independence, when they gathered together to write a constitution, to set up a government with 3 equal and independent parts, a government unlike anything that had ever been put together in human history, God gave them grace. When our very existence for the first 90 years always seemed tenuous, a young country having to face wars both from without and from within, God gave us grace. When a battle took place and brothers started to fight against brother, and we lost more in a civil war than we did in all of the other wars for a long, long period of time, even in bloodshed, to avoid secession, separation, God gave us grace. The 20th century saw the United States become a world leader in all kinds of areas, commerce and trade. And even when our country was drawn into wars against totalitarianism, dictatorships, God gave us grace. He graced this country with a pioneer spirit, with courageous energy, with generous wisdom, and with the ultimate means and demonstration of freedom, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. But friends, freedom always comes at a great price. For example, of the 59 men who eventually penned their names to the Declaration of Independence for for the United States of America, 5 were captured and tortured before they were killed. 12 of them had their homes ransacked and all their possessions taken and their homes burned. 2 lost sons in battle. 9 fought themselves and died in the Revolutionary War. And then there is the story of Nathan Hale, a name you probably at least recognize a little bit, though you may or may not remember what he is famous for. He grew up to be a highly educated and handsome young man who had every prospect seemingly for a happy and fulfilling life. Those who knew him always commented on his love for sports. Yeah, they had some back then. And also on his kindness, but most of all, his strong Christian convictions. But when George Washington reorganized the army in January of 1776 in anticipation for having to defend Manhattan Island, Nathan received a captain's commission where he spent 6 months helping to build the fortifications for that very purpose. At the beginning of September, our nation's future first president formed an elite group of New England Rangers. They were Green Beret types, that where Hale was soon invited to command one of the 4 companies whose mission was forward reconnaissance. Washington desperately needed to know what was going to be the most likely site of the upcoming British invasion, and so he needed to send a spy behind enemy lines. Not surprisingly, Nathan Hale volunteered. It's not exactly sure how Hale was captured, but he was immediately brought for questioning before the British commander, General William Howe. Sadly, the intelligence information was found on Hale, and since it was neither in code nor in invisible ink, he was compromised irrevocably. Now, General Howe was really moved by the young man's demeanor, his patriotism, his ability to debate calmly but confidently about what government really meant to be all about. Still, he was a soldier out of uniform behind enemy lines, and the customs and rules of war were such that Nathan was sentenced to die. And so on September 22nd, 1776, at 11 o'clock in the morning, Nathan Hale was marched about a mile up the post road to the north to the Park of Artillery, where before he was executed, he gave this spirited speech. A man who happened to be there to listen to that speech that day, a British engineer by the name of John Montressor, listened and watched the whole thing. Later that day, Montressor was going to be ordered to deliver a message from General Howe to General Washington under a white flag. And Montressor sincerely emphasized that Nathan had impressed everyone with his sense of dignity. And as he stood on the gallows waiting to die, he gave his famous last words: "I regret that I have but one life to give for my country." Yes, freedom has a high price, but even though what we have received today in our nation has come at a very high price of hundreds of thousands of lives, friends, all those hundreds of thousands and hundreds of thousands more could never have given to us the real prize. The prize that we celebrate here this morning, yes, it is also called freedom. We have been set free by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For that, only one man was going to be able to accomplish that. And yes, for that one man came a high price. By now you know the story. He was betrayed by one of his very own disciples. He was arrested in a garden and then subjected to a series of sham meetings, first before the religious officials, then before the government officials. At various times, he was slapped. He was beat over the head with a stick. He was blindfolded and struck and then challenged to tell everybody who had just hit him. And as he was being led from meeting to meeting to meeting, Scripture made it clear that each time the guards received him with blows. And after he had been declared worthy to die by the religious officials, he was taken first to Pontius Pilate, then to King Herod, then arrayed in a gorgeous robe back to Pontius Pilate again, where Pilate then had him flogged, not as someone who is guilty, but as someone whom Pilate was hoping to set free. So here is a flogged Jesus coming out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe and looking pitiable. And all that ends up happening is he gets sentenced to death. He must now take the road to Calvary, receive the nails, be crucified on a wooden cross. His friends had run away. His possessions had been gambled away. His strength was ebbing away. His heavenly Father had even turned away. And all that was left were these three words: "It is finished." Was that a cry of defeat? Well, as we heard a couple times in our epistle lesson today, by no means. It is a victory cry. It is a way to say, let freedom ring for all of you. This is the honest to God truth. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ means you are liberated forever from sin, death, and the devil. And now the prison doors that had kept you and so many like you are wide open. And because of that, we have peace with God. Now, I don't know what kind of peace it is when Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. But it might help by beginning to understand what a lost life is. It isn't just a martyr. Oh, yes, Christians have had enough of them, and there will be many, many more until the day that our Lord returns. But you've known a lost life. Maybe you yourself have been a lost life. You know, in war, one of the scariest things is to get separated from your regiment, especially when you know you are in close proximity to the enemy, and sin wants to make us feel separated. But with the Lord Jesus Christ by our side, he gives us a Holy Spirit that makes sure that both from without and from within, we are never alone. Washed in the waters of holy baptism, in the cleansing of Christ's body and blood, we've been made a part of God's people who will never again be separated from him, even if sin is still a part of our lives. And that's just the beginning. You know, there's a lot of people that seem to think, or a lot of businesses, you would fully get the impression that just as soon as the 4th of July is over, the summer is over. Don't believe me? Well, go into a couple stores around July 6th and tell me what you see. Summer's gone, and what you will see now will be something between back to school and Christmas. We'll celebrate that Christmas thing here in a couple of weeks. Yeah, I said that right. We'll celebrate that Christmas thing here in a couple of weeks. The summer doesn't end on 4th of July, and Jesus' goodness does not end now. There is more freedom to come. As we grow in our walk with Jesus, his liberating power continues to open doors for each of us. One day, as God uses us as his chosen instrument, many more will experience freedom in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. There will be some, like a friend I must go visit this coming week, to whom that life is going to be beginning very soon, and he anticipates it, and he's ready for it. For others, it will come as an absolute shock, a little bit like this final story. Once the Declaration of Independence had been adopted on the morning of July 4th, 1776, a group of the original signatories who were designated the Committee of Five, it was Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Roger Sherman, and Robert R. Livingston. They were charged with overseeing the making of copies of the approved text. This was done that evening at a shop of Philadelphia printer John Dunlap. And on July 5th, Dunlap's copies were dispatched across the 13 colonies. They were sent to newspapers, local officials, and the commanders of the Continental troops. These rare documents, which came to be known as the Dunlap Broadsides, they actually predate the true version that was actually signed by the delegates, because It took the delegates a good part of the rest of that year before the last of them finally added their signatures to the original document. Now, hundreds of copies must have been made to get it to every place it needed to go, but it was thought that only 24 of them survived until not that many years ago, when over in Great Britain, in an archive and a library, where they started finding boxes of papers and materials that had been confiscated from homes of the colonials at the beginning of the Revolutionary War and taken back to Great Britain. In one of the boxes of stuff that was just piled in there, they found a 25th copy of the Dunlap broadside. But that's not all. In February of 1989, a Philadelphia man had stopped by an art gallery to look for something that he wanted to add to his home. He found something he liked, he purchased it, but then was informed that, no, you don't get to take the frame with you. The frame stays with us. You only get the picture. On his way home, by chance, he spotted a flea market, stopped at the flea market, wondered if he could find a frame the right size, and he did. And he paid $4 for it. He took the picture frame home and got ready and started to dust it up and clean it up. And as he started to remove the things whereby that painting was going to be placed, he noticed it had all these layers of papers that were in it. Old paper, plain paper. But in between the layers, he found something. And all of a sudden, with some verification, he discovered that he had found one of the original Dunlap broadsides in mint condition. And that for which he paid $4 for a frame at a flea market, was sold at auction 10 years later for $8 million. Friends, do you feel that valuable? Well, you should probably feel more valuable than that. Whatever that was, even if it was just the 26th copy, it's still a copy. None of you sitting here are copies. You are originals. Because with God, you are far more valuable than anything that's made of paper. You are one of a kind. And as his child, you get the chance to have those words touch your heart that we heard earlier this morning from the longest book of the Bible and the longest chapter of the longest book, Psalm 119. Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. For the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. My friends, we celebrate, not just today, not just here in the coming days. Gratefully, it's one of the few holidays we have that wasn't converted into a Monday holiday. It's actually Tuesday. But we can celebrate this every day of the year. You are God's child, and through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that price has set you free forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We now receive our offerings. If you've not yet filled out the Faith Fellowship cards, please do so. Please note the special prayer response that's on the screen. We pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Eternal Father, strong to save, you are our light and our salvation. For all of us as individuals, gathered as families, gathered together here as the family of faith, and for our great and free nation, you are all we ever need. We come before you, asking you to bless us with the sincere faith that you have given us, helping us to trust in what you continue to do for us, to renew us in baptism day by day, and to refresh our souls as we live in hope and wait for the completion of our salvation. Lord Jesus, we have seen your glory. Keep us always in your fatherly care in this world that sadly has been ruined by sin. Guard us in all times of danger. Protect us in every peril. Keep us safe by your grace that we may never lose our faith because of our sins and frailty. Help us to grow in faith and spiritual understanding as long as we live. May we always be that chosen instrument that continues to grow the faith that you place in the hearts and the power of the Holy Spirit. When death approaches, prepared or unprepared, make us strong in your sure promises, finally giving us the joy of your eternal presence. Lord Jesus, we have seen your glory. Hold your hand of blessing over our land, especially this coming week, from earthquake and storm, from famine and disease, from violence and war, from tyranny and persecution, from treachery and rebellion, save us, good Lord. May your power and guidance be evident everywhere, in government, business, education, commerce, farming, entertainment, and all forms of media, so that all of our people may live in the knowledge that you are Lord and no other God may share our glory. Lord Jesus, we have seen your glory. Be gracious to all our homes and families, and make your face to shine on all who suffer sickness, sorrow, the weakness of age, the weariness of hard work, separation from loved ones, uncertainty about the future, broken relationships, and especially during this coming week, those who serve in the public sector as well as those who serve in the military who will be spending this holiday week away from their families. Give them your rich peace. Show yourself to be a God always ready to help, and give faith, trust, courage, and hope to all in need. Lord Jesus, we have seen your glory. Fully dependent on your faithfulness, generosity, and graciousness, we entrust all for whom we pray to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If you're following along in your service folder, we conclude in the middle of page 9, the Thanksgiving, closing prayer, and benediction. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We close in prayer together. O King of the nations, we thank and praise you for creating our world, working through our government, and setting us free through your sacrifice once and for all for the sins of the world. Guide us, your people who have been nourished with your body and blood, in being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. And so receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts, into your homes, and into our nation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Friends, have a safe week, especially as you venture out into our great nation, as God gives to us his grace wherever we go. Go in peace, serve the Lord.